This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hour number three of our radio program. Of course, it is the Zach Yelp Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you for listening across our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS. The number is always 855-212-4227. Hit us up on social media as well, at Zach Gelb, also at CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Let me get to the tweet of the day, and it comes from Coach Ron Hunter of the Tulane Green Wave. And I'm not just doing this because he joins us right now, but his tweet was awesome. After all this time being at home, my wife told me this morning she is going into the transfer portal. Coach, thanks for a few minutes. How you been?
Oh, man, I'm looking for a lawyer. But Jenna, she may take everything we got to whatever school she's going to. But how you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and we appreciate you coming on. So what's your plea to your bride to make her stay and not transfer?
Well, you know, I'm illegally promised her things. I told her we can have another wedding. I'm trying to see if she want to have another son as the first round draft pick, but she says no way to that. So, I figure we just go talk this thing out, buddy.
Are you a good cook?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. Okay.
This all started last night because, you know, again, it's supposed to be recruiting time, and she gave me five things to do, and I did one of them. And when I woke up, she just had this note that said she wasn't in bed. And I turned around, and she had a note on her pillow that said, if you need me, I'm in a transfer portal. And that's how I send the thing out.
What was the one thing that you did, Coach?
I ate leftovers from last night.
All right. Well, I was going to help you out. I was going to say cook something. I was going to say pour a nice glass of wine. I think you just have to buy a diamond ring now.
Yeah, it's getting bad right now, man. It's getting bad. I tell you what, we need Corona. We need all this stuff to end so I can get my life back now.
don't we all? Ron Hunter here with us, the head coach of the Tulane Green Wave. So new era, new chapter for you, leaving Georgia State. We all remember your time in the NCAA tournament with Georgia State. Recap year one and what it was like transitioning to a new program and a new team.
Well, you know, it reminded me so much when I took over Georgia State. You know, Georgia State at that time, we had had 10 straight losing seasons, and kind of the same thing since Katrina. Really hadn't done anything since Katrina hit Tulane, and so many similarities, being in a major city. And, again, we just had to kind of bring a culture in there. And I thought year one, when you're taking over a program like that, the first thing you got to do is change the culture. And I thought we were able to do that. They won four games the year before, did not win a conference game. And so we were able to, you know, we went from four games to 12 games, and we won four games in the league, and we got better. And we probably should have won at least five more, but, you know, we were playing with a whole new team. And I was really proud of our guys because, again, we talk about that first year is all about, you know, again, we had to build a foundation. When I got to Tulane, I thought this was going to be a rebuild, but really about 2-3 months into it, I realized it wasn't a rebuild, it's a build. And so, you know, we looked at it from that perspective, and so I think year one has been a success for us.
It's a good conference in the American Athletic Conference. It's a program that has not been to the NCAA tournament since 1995, so the culture is a huge part of that, like you're saying. The Ron Hunter culture, how do you describe it? What is it, if you have to put it into words?
Well, we hope it's a winning culture. You know, we were able to get the same thing done at IUPUI, and we left IUPUI in good hands, took them to the NCAA tournament, and we feel like we got that program built. And we turned around and went to Atlanta and Georgia State, and, you know, kind of the same thing. Hadn't been to the tournament in years since Lefty had taken them. They left to Giselle, and we kind of were able to get that done. And now we're at our third stop at Tulane. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like this will be the easiest out of the two that I've had. Everybody says Tulane's a tough, hard job. And so I always say I've had the hardest job in America is IUPUI. First of all, most people don't understand what it stands for. And I spent 17 years there. That's a hard job. Tulane is not a hard job. IUPUI, very hard job. So I'm excited about it, Tulane. I mean, New Orleans is a great city to be in. Well, you know, I went to my first Mardi Gras, so my first parade, ate my first oyster. I've never had an oyster before. So, man, we're really having a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, Coach, I think you'll be fine with keeping your wife. You are in New Orleans now. That makes it easier.
Oh, it really does. I mean, and we, you know, we still kept her home in Atlanta, so we kind of go back and forth. We have our first grandchild here. She's 2 years old, so you know, Mom wasn't going to completely leave her. So we kind of, you know, Mom goes back and forth. But, you know, you could be in a lot worse places than New Orleans, Louisiana.
What do you take, Coach Ron Hunter, from that experience at IUPUI, Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis? What do you take from that you still implement into your game today as a coach?
Well, you know, when I took over that program, and I had Bobby Knight at one end at Indiana. We had Gene Katie at Purdue. Butler was really great. Reggie Miller for the Pacers. So you've got so many great basketball programs in the state, just in Indiana alone, not even in Ohio. So I felt like we had to do something different. You know, I wasn't going to come in there and change that culture and do the same thing and, you know, run motion and play man-to-man. And so we had to do something different, and I thought playing the matchup, and we started taking transfers before it became popular. And that kind of had success with that. We took that same formula to Atlanta and really did the same thing. You had great programs from Georgia Tech and Georgia. Again, had to do something different, and we were able to do that. And we're now doing the same thing in Tulane and New Orleans. And so I believe in it. I think it's worked. You know, I've been a head coach now, you know, for 27 years. So this process has worked, and I know it's going to work here at Tulane. And I'm excited about it. You know, again, out of all the programs that we're able to build, I'm really excited about taking this one and taking this to the NCAA tournament, because I don't think most people believe we're going to get that done.
Ron Hunter here with us on the Zach Gelb Show, now coaching Tulane. You know now more than ever, when you take over a new program, kids want you to show them that they could trust you, and you also have to trust your kids. How did you build trust in your number one?
Well, I think it's important that one of the things that we had to do is I try to get as many players that I recruit in. A lot of times the trust factor really starts, you know, from the previous coach that had those players. And so he promised them some things, whether it's playing time, whatever it might be. And so I thought the first thing we had to do is bring our kind of guys in. But even that, I think that you got to be able to sell yourself, whether you're selling yourself to a kid that's been in a program or to a recruit. You know, everybody talks about the university, but the first person that young man or that family sees is that coach. And so if you can't sell yourself, it's going to be really hard. And so, you know, and let me tell you something. I used to have this conversation with Mike Davis when he was at Indiana. I used to say, Mike, you know, Mike would talk about how hard it was to follow Bobby Knight. And we would talk every night. And I said, well, Mike, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take my job at IUPUI. Try to sell that. My wife at that time could sell Indiana. Put a T-shirt on, say Indiana. That sells itself. Try selling IUPUI. And so he never wanted to trade that with me. And he never wanted to trade paychecks either. So I always say, you know, again, you know, you make every job how you make it. I take each day. I try to win the day. You know, I talk about our players. Just win the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Win the day. If you stack wins up, then you're going to have a successful program.
What's the first thing usually a kid asks you when you go into their living room to recruit him, Coach?
They usually, right now, funny, they all ask me about my son hitting a shot and me falling
right
off the chair. Yeah, that's the first thing most people, when I've been in New Orleans now for 11 months, and every single day we still get that, you know, about what was it like when you fell off the chair, or, you know, I was recruiting a kid today, and we were kind of, first time I talked to him, we're doing it on a Zoom, and I said, hey, what questions you have for me and for our basketball program? And his first question was, Coach, tell me about the shot your son hit, and I mean, so it never goes away.
Well, take me back to the conference tournament where you tear your Achilles celebrating. That's why you were on the stool. So how'd you tear your Achilles celebrating, Coach?
man, it was crazy because it was one of the it was one of the lowest score games I've ever had. It was in the 30s, and we're playing in a championship game. And remember, the year before we were 17-1, and we lost in a conference championship game. And my son and we were devastated. And so we really wanted, as a father and son, we really wanted to go to the NCAA tournament. And so he comes up, he hits the free throw. We call a timeout. We had to get a stop. And I'm standing up. Generally, I try to sit down in that segment, but I was standing up. And when the kid missed a shot from Georgia Southern, I jumped straight up in the air. And while I was up in the air, I could feel a pop. Everybody's running on the floor, and I realized something had happened. And by the time I landed on the ground, I couldn't stand back, so I fell down. And I was in so much pain, and then I saw my son. My son ran over, noticed I was on the floor, and he dives on top of me. I've got tears in my eyes, and he's yelling, "Dad, I've never seen you so happy." And I'm saying, "Son, I'm not happy. I'm in pain. I tore my Achilles." and so he gets up, and he runs to his mother, and his teammates are chasing him, thinking he's excited about it. But he's actually running to his mom to say, "Hey, Dad's on the floor. He tore his Achilles." And so after about 10 minutes, I couldn't get up. They actually called the security and got security and a doctor over to actually get me back to a chair. So that's how that really started, and one of those days I'll never forget.
What did your bride say to you when you're on the floor and you tore your Achilles and you knew it in the moment?
That's when she should have went in the transfer portal, right there. That's what she probably should have. But, it's funny because when we got back, because that was actually Selection Sunday. That's what a lot of people don't know. So it was actually Selection Sunday. We were going to fly back to New Orleans, but because I was in so much pain, I decided to get a bus, and I want a bus back because I didn't want to get on a plane with a torn Achilles. So we bus all the way back to Atlanta, and it was probably one of the best bus rides in the world. I was on so many painkillers, I don't even remember what happened, but it was a big-time party bus.
Ron Hunter from Tulane here with us on the Zach Gelb Show, recalling that special moment at Georgia State. So then you quickly fast forward. Actually, before we get to the shot and you falling off the stool and your son's big moment with RJ Hunter, was there ever a shot that you were going to miss that game because you tore your Achilles and you didn't want to be on the sidelines or couldn't be on the sidelines?
No, I was. You know, it was funny when we when I got back here in Indianapolis, I saw the doctor on that Monday. We knew we were playing at that. We knew we were going to play Baylor, and so we had talked about, do we do surgery? And I said, there's no surgery. Just kind of put a cast on this thing, and you know, just get me through the weekend. I kept saying, get me through the weekend, get me through the weekend. And so that's what we did. We put a cast on, and what most people don't know is after when I failed, I cracked the cast. They had to recast me before I got back to the hotel after that win. So I had two casts in a time of 4 days because of myself falling. One, I failed because of the tore my Achilles. And when I fell off the stool, I cracked a cast. They had to recast it in the locker room.
Wait, so when your son hits the shot, you broke the cast?
Oh, yeah. When I fell off the chair, I broke my cast.
Wow.
And so I'm sitting back there, and the doctors come in. And really, you know, it's funny. When they were doing that, and we were sitting in the locker room where everyone's excited, I had no idea that people knew that I fell off the chair. I didn't realize that until I got back to the hotel, and my phone was going crazy, and people were calling. I just thought, you know, because I got up kind of quickly, what I thought was quickly, and I thought, surely no one saw me fall off the chair. That was probably one of the dumbest things I've ever said or thought in my life, because I think half the world saw it.
It was amazing. I'll never forget it. And also never forget, and I love Steve Lapis, so we could tease him a little bit right here. He was yelling at your son doing the game that, what are they doing? Because you guys were down by two. He thought they should have drove, drive right to the hoop, and your son pulls up from long distance, makes the three, and the rest is history.
See, that's why I love Steve Lapis. See, that's why he's not coaching. See, right there, that's the reason why he's not coaching right now.
I'm not going to lie to you, Coach. I thought you guys should have probably driven to the hoop too.
No, we you know what? It's funny. One of the things that we always talk about when we as a mid-major, you're playing a team that's ranked and good, you never ever go
for the win.
Time.
You're right.
We always go for the win. We always talk about that. I've even talked about that with my son growing up. So that was something that we've always talked about. You always go for the win.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where you're watching it, you're saying, why aren't they driving? Why aren't they driving? And the announcers are saying, why aren't they driving? And then you make the shot, and you just go absolutely nuts. So when you look back, Ron Hunter, at that moment, at that time, and it's more than just that moment, and you're able to coach your son in college. I know you love your players like family, but your son, it's actual family right there. That's your blood. How do you look back on that time being able to coach your kid?
I'll be honest with you. I say this all the time when I have a lot of coaches that will call me to try to coach their kid, and I tell them, you know, 3 years that I coached my son were maybe the hardest things I've ever done in my life. I've had some tough things that happened in my life, but the hardest thing I've ever had to do was coach him, because in those 3 years, I was never his father. And that's the tough part. When you at this level, when you're doing that, again, it's funny because he never called me dad in those 3 years. And so he didn't call me coach, but he never called me dad. It's always a tough situation. I'll give you an example. I talked about the year before, his sophomore year, we're 17-1. We had won 25 games. We lost on a buzzer in the championship game to Lafayette. We go in a locker room. Everybody's devastated. And I saw two things. My team, everybody had their head down and they were sad. And then I saw my son on the right side and he's crying. I could make a decision right there as a father. Do I go hug my son and console him? Or do I address the team? Because I knew we were going to play an NIT. And I made the decision to kind of galvanize the team instead of making sure that my son was okay. And I still, to this day, the worst decision I've ever made in my life. As a father, I should have went over to him. And I apologize. I regretted that. But when you coach your son, those are the decisions that a lot of times you have to make. And that was a hard thing. And a lot of times I felt like maybe I was probably harder on him than some of the other kids. Because I didn't want those other kids to feel like, you know, that I was giving something more to RJ, especially when he's your best player. NBA scouts were always coming. Everybody's talking about him. So it just made it really hard. And so our relationship is great now. But during that time, man, it was really tough. The other part of it is when he would get mad at me, he would always call home. And I always knew when he would call home, because when I would come home from practice, there was never dinner.
Bingo.
So it'd be never, ever dinner. She would never cook when he would call mad. And so we wouldn't even talk about it. So if he came home, again, we never talked about basketball, but it was really a tough day. And I always say this. I felt like that if I had to do it again, I probably wouldn't do it, because it's really hard on the family. It's really tough on the family.
Wow. You know, it's a fascinating perspective, because we've seen it before, obviously, with the McDermott family and the Drew family, too. And you think it's always this easy, you know, must be such a nice relationship, but I never thought about it the way that you're telling us how it did go down, because you're right, too. You know, having the whole family involved with it, the minute he calls mom, you know, there's no way you're winning that battle.
Yeah, it is tough, because, and I think mom had it the worst, because what would happen,
she can't pick sides.
On the floor, and everybody in the stands are looking at her to see how she's going to respond to when, you know, coach player or coach son kind of getting into it. So she had to kind of bite her lip on so many things, and she had to sit there, because there wasn't a side to take, although she did take her son's side.
Okay.
But it's really tough. Then, for, you know, my daughter, same thing. You know, my son would always call her, and, you know, she was older. She's a doctor, and so she tried to, you know, calm everybody down. And, you know, when we got together, it wasn't tense, but it wasn't what I would call relaxing, because, again, you always knew. You know, we try to never have that basketball discussion. But if we left dinner, we know we're going to practice right after that. And so it was just really tough. And I love my son, and we have a great relationship. But man, we laugh about it right now. It was really, really hard. I think if you're going to do it, I think it's the best way to do it is if your son just sucks and he can't play. That's the best way to do it. Then you don't have to worry about anything, you know?
Yeah, but there's a problem. That's going to annoy you even more as a dad.
Yeah, it will, but you know what? You can live with that for the most part. You know, he graduated, but I'm telling you what, when you're going through it and you got to go through the NBA part of it, you know, not only about he's the best player, he's going to leave school early. Does he leave after his sophomore year? Is he getting much attention? I had another kid, Ryan Harrell, who transferred from Kentucky. So we had great players on the team. All their parents and their kids, they're trying to get to the NBA also. And so it was just so much. There's so many dynamics with it that's why we were so emotional when that happened, because we knew that once he hit that shot, man, it was all worth it for that time. But it's funny, because he left to go to the NBA. We never had a conversation after that shot about, hey, Dad, I'm going to leave for the NBA. We all knew as a family. There wasn't a meeting. We didn't sit for dinner. We knew without even talking to each other that was the last time I was going to get an opportunity to coach RJ.
Last one for Ron Hunter. When we get back to your current team in Tulane, the AAC championship tournament was canceled. Obviously, all March Madness was canceled, too. What did you tell your team when the season just ended so quickly in the AAC tournament, they canceled it?
Man, I'm telling you, it was crazy. We were going to – we were in pregame meal. And so we were getting ready to kind of talk about, I was getting to put a film up. We're going to play UConn. And we're going to talk about some things that was getting ready to happen. So all the players were in. And right before I'm walking in to talk to the team, my athletic director calls and said, we're not playing. And, you know, I kind of looked at the guys. Everybody's ready and ready to head over to the arena and talk about that. And we're, you know, I say, guys, hey, this is what's going on. And the look on their faces were just, I felt really bad, really for the seniors. You know, and they're like, what do you mean we're not going to play? Are we going to play next week? You know, and I said, no, guys, this is it. And the plane ride home, so we kind of packed up. We got on our plane, and the plane ride home with all 40 people on the plane, it was the quietest plane ride I've ever been on because people just didn't know. And this is the first time. I usually all have a lot of things to say, but I didn't have anything to say to those kids, and that was really, really tough.
Coach, you're the best, honestly. Your personality, your storytelling, it's refreshing. A fascinating perspective on the time coaching your son. Good luck. Take it easy on my Temple Owls, though, when you play them, please. And we'll see you soon, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks. God bless. Take care now.
No problem. There's Ron Hunter, the head coach of Tulane. And I'm going to imagine that Tulane program is going to have some success very soon. When you look at his career, he was at IUPUI from 94 all the way up to 2011. They made the NCAA tournament back in that 2002-2003 season. Then goes to Georgia State. Was there from 2011 to 2019, made the NCAA tournament three times. Everyone remembers the 2014-2015 season when they beat Baylor and he falls out of the chair and tore his Achilles in the conference tournament, and his son makes the big shot. And then this past year they go 10-14, I believe they were, at Tulane. And that's a program that is not expected to have a lot of success with basketball, but they bring in and they definitely brought in the right coach, and you hear his personality and the storytelling, the stuff on his son. I couldn't believe that. You know, I could not believe they were 12-18 at Tulane this past year, 4-14 in the conference. And a year ago they were no wins in the conference and they had four wins total. So you see how much a difference a year makes, but you hear the storytelling, and I know we got to take a break. But you hear that storytelling where everyone sees that moment in that NCAA tournament. You think it's so easy and you get to coach your son and it must be great. And he made it clear it was very difficult. So fascinating, fascinating stuff. Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, is the NFL going to move the draft? We'll get into that. Should they move the draft? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to the Zach Yelp Show. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
We know you want to see college basketball this time of the year, so tune in to CBS and CBS Sports Network all week long for NCAA Tournament Rewind and relive some of the best moments from March Madness. Also, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, you know it. It's always 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, and it's sponsored by our dear, dear friends at GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Should the NFL push back the draft that is scheduled to occur in a month? When I first think about it, I say no. We don't know where this is going next with the coronavirus pandemic, but many people last week told me, the NFL shouldn't push back or should push back the start of free agency. And I said at the time, why should we push back free agency? And many people said, oh, well, it's not a good look. It's a bad look when everyone's struggling and you have all these athletes getting millions of dollars. Well, those athletes would still be getting millions of dollars even if we push it back 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or a month, and we never know when we're returning to normalcy. I wanted a distraction. Selfishly, I wanted a distraction. And we got that distraction last week and also bleeding over into this week too. So I'm going to need another distraction because next week, what's the sports world going to look like? There's only so much television you could binge watch. There's only so much old games you could rewind and binge watch. We're going to be craving something current. You're going to want to escape when you're cooped up in your house dealing with the coronavirus. As we don't know where this is going to turn next and when we're going to get back to a state of normalcy. We hope, we pray, we beg that it's sooner rather than later. But more likely, it's going to be like this for a long time, for a while. How long is a long time? That we don't know. So there's ambiguity there. There's uncertainty when we're going to be able to go back to just simply being able to go out to a restaurant or go out to a bar on a Saturday night, or don't have to stay in your house or be able to go hang out with a few buddies or, you know, see some family members. Now, that's all uncertain. So just like I said a week ago, I'll say it again. I still want to see the NFL draft happen. And if it doesn't give GMs the best background in scouting and they have to change their alterations and their plans a little bit, so be it. We're all making changes right now. So this is from Adam Schefter and Diana Rossini on Tuesday night. The league's general manager subcommittee has unanimously recommended to Commissioner Roger Goodell to push back the start of the draft, from Schefter and Rossini. They also went on to say general managers are concerned that in this current environment with offseason activities canceled and some teams' facilities closed, there won't be enough time for player physicals, gathering psychological testing, and getting further verified information about the players, and some teams having to conduct the draft from home. I think a lot of owners aren't sold on keeping it on the schedule, one league source said. Of course, power owners are calling the shots, plus add to the fact that April's going to be the toughest month with the virus. It's really a poor look. I could maybe see, even with what I just said, why it could be a poor look, but I'll give you the same argument. You need to alter and you need to change. Is it the end of the world if the draft doesn't happen in a month? No, it isn't. But for many of us, it will provide a distraction and it will get us excited about something and spark our interest in something during a time where we need that. Where it would be, not that we need it, it would be appreciated. Let's say that. So if a general manager isn't concerned that they can't do their proper due diligence as well as they could in last year's draft process, so be it. Be creative. Use technology to do interviews. You could do these workouts online. I get it's not as great as being able to be there on site and all that, but you could gather a lot of information on these players still online. And by talking to them through the various forms of technology and ways that you could do that as it's possible and as it's created for us. So is it perfect? Is it an ideal scenario? No. But I do personally believe that the show could still go on with the draft. I believe it should still go on. And I also believe that it will go on. 855-212-4CBS. Because the NFL's not stupid. They just saw what happened last week, week and a half. They saw how refreshing it was to be able to provide a distraction. So I think they do give a feel-good moment, even though it will be different. You won't have people in Vegas. You won't have people at the draft. You won't have players at the draft. I read today that they're going to try to figure out a way to do it via technology that could create an awkward moment. You'll never forget. If you remember the NBA draft, Joel Embiid wasn't there, and he had that delayed reaction, but so be it. We should still have this draft in a month. There's still tape. There's still scouting that can be done. You can still get on a phone and talk to someone. Yes, everyone's been inconvenienced by this. Do I believe that the NFL teams aren't going to be able to conduct a good draft because of some of the changes they have to make? No, I don't believe that they won't be able to conduct that all of a sudden they're not going to be able to conduct a good draft because the way that it's going about has to be different. So I believe that they could still conduct a good draft. So let the show go on, please. Let me go to Tom in Harrisburg. He's next up on CBS Sports Radio with Zach Gill. What's up, Tom?
Hi, Zach. Thanks for doing the show. Really appreciate it. I'm not a TV guy, so radio's my entertainment. I appreciate all you guys at CBS Sports Radio.
Well, we appreciate you listening, and I'm probably not a TV guy either. You know, they haven't put my mug on TV in a while, so I appreciate you listening to us.
I agree with you about the NFL draft. The show must go on, and all these other sports leagues are getting a little crazy with their ideas. I just saw Scott Boras wants to play the World Series on Christmas. The NBA and NHL. I mean, if it starts up, go right to the playoffs in the NBA and NHL. You don't need more regular season. You don't need to play a full baseball season, play half the year. I don't know. These guys are just getting a little nuts. What do you think?
Well, here's the difference with the draft compared to all the other sports. The draft could happen. It's just a selection of players. You don't need people in the room. We could do it all via technology as well. With those other sports, it's all this speculation right now because there's uncertainty and we don't know when we're going to return. Eventually, though, yes, I would like to see the league continue out their season. If that means, and I've said this before, if that means for the NBA, tough luck, we're not finishing out the regular season, just go to the postseason, so be it. You know, maybe you play a best of three in the first two rounds and then go back to your best of seven for the conference finals in both the NHL and the NBA, because you still need to give these players an offseason because you don't want next season to be compromised. You don't want to push it back that far. Baseball, yeah, it's not going to start on time. You got to give your players a little time to get ready, maybe another extended spring training, and then you got to shorten that season. But I appreciate the phone call. Here's the bottom line. We don't know when it's going to be safe to return. And since these are players on the field, it has to be safe, not just for us, but for them. And maybe it opens up with no fans in the building for the first month of the season. If that's the case, so be it. We'll have to watch on television. But eventually, these leagues, they have to have a cutoff date in mind. And I fear, and I think this is what's going to happen, that, and I hope it's not the case, but I really do believe the NBA and the NHL are going to have to just cut this season and say, sorry, no champion, no playoffs, and we're going to go back to it because, unfortunately, this may very well, may not. But if I'm being realistic with you, this may go into the summer. So if that's the case, then it's going to be tough to bring back the NBA and the NHL, unless if you want to go to a condensed playoff format like I just suggested and get that over with. And then for baseball, who knows when that's going to come back? I have no clue. All this stuff, you have no clue. It's all speculation. We're all giving our best educated guess on it. It's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio, and we come back. It's the moment you're all waiting for. I answer the poll question. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Yelp Show. He's glad you're still here. Now back to the Zach Yelp Show.
Woo! It is too close to call right now. I don't think we're going to have our final results at the end of the show. This may be a, you know, sometimes with these poll questions, they still say 12 hours left, and at the end of the show, we close them out and we say, it is what it is. You know, that's what will make the final results, and I'll never look back at the poll question. I can't give you final results today. We have to probably give the final results tomorrow. Between these four CBS Sports radio shows, and remember, I only get four options on Twitter. Which would you most like to quarantine yourself with during the coronavirus pandemic? The DA Show, the Pat McAfee Show, the Jim Rome Show, or Tiki and Tierney? 10.2% say right now Tiki and Tierney. 21.4% say Jim Rome. 34.9%, actually in first place, say Pat McAfee Show. And then with 33.6%, look how close that is, 34.9 to 33.6, say the DA Show. So McAfee 1, DA 2, Rome 3, Tiki and Tierney 4. Which actually, if you lose this poll question, you actually win. Because why do you want to quarantine with some people? You probably want to quarantine by yourself. But it's a fun poll question. I'll give you my answer in just a moment. Let me squeeze in Rick, though, from Atlanta. He's next up on the Zach Yelp Show. Rick, what's happening, man?
Hey, I wanted to call and let you know something. I'm 67 years old, and I followed pro sports since I was just 8 years old. And I've heard interviews of all size, shape, lengths, male, female. Those are the two best interviews I've ever heard conducted.
Well, hey, I appreciate it. That means a lot. And, Rick, really do appreciate it. What else you got for us, though?
One other thing. And the reason I'm saying that about Piazza, I've got his autobiography. I've had it for about 7-8 years. I've read it 3 or 4 times. He shared some things in his interview that he didn't share in his book. So I just wanted to give you just that inside. But anyway, the other thing was Cam Newton. I think he has a history of freezing under pressure. In the Super Bowl, you know, the fumble was right at his foot. He took one step toward it, and then he backed off. Then in the fall, they were playing Atlanta in October, and they had scored about late in the third quarter. He went for a two-point conversion, dropped back to pass. Nobody's open. He ran. He got right to the goal line and just stopped. And Deion Jones, the linebacker for Atlanta, hit him hard. I mean, concussed him. He didn't play that game or the next game. And then this past year, his injury was a whole lot more severe. And under pressure, he froze and didn't share information. So I don't know if I'd want a quarterback out there because it's going to get pressure. I don't know if I want somebody, you know, having a freeze block, you know.
I don't know if I necessarily look more so at that. I look at the injuries he's coming off of. We're talking about a shoulder and a foot. And I get what Jake Delhomme told us earlier, but it's been a long time, man, since Cam Newton has been a great quarterback. That doesn't mean he hasn't had other good seasons, but his last real great, and I mean great year of football, was when he was the MVP in 2015. And other than that, 2016, 19 touchdowns, 14 picks. 2017, 22 and 16. 2018, 24 and 13. And last year, clearly, you know, barely even played. So, you know, he made the playoffs one other year since getting that team to a Super Bowl. But he's about to be 31. Like, if I'm a team and I need a quarterback, and let's look at the teams available. And I appreciate the phone call, Rick. You look at those teams that are available, and really, really do thank you for the kind words. It's very nice for what you said. But if you see the teams that need a starter, you have to decide, do you want someone that you're hoping could get back to a form from 2015 that probably will never get back to that form, or do you want to go with your young talent that is an unknown? If you're Jacksonville, would you rather try with the inexperienced Gardner Minshew in this year trial period? Or would you rather go with Cam? That's a team that's not ready to win. So you'd rather go with the younger quarterback. Now for the Patriots, a little bit different. Do you want to go with your young quarterback in Jarrett Stidham that's truly an unknown, no matter what you saw at Auburn or not? Or do you say, we made the playoffs last year, let's bring in Cam, and we'll take that risk with Cam because we still have a team that we believe in could be a playoff team with Cam Newton. Except maybe the Patriots believe they could be a playoff team with Jarrett Stidham. And I look at that one again. If I'm running the Patriots, I do believe it's more attractive to go with Jarrett Stidham right now. And here's why. Because it's about the long-term stability of your franchise. If Stidham plays well this year, he could be the future of the Patriots quarterback, you know, for the Patriots quarterback position. I'm not saying expect it. I don't expect it. But I do expect Stidham to be the starting quarterback this year. For how long? I don't know. So the place I look at for Cam, where I don't see a roadblock in the way, because Delhomme made a great point. Delhomme made an excellent point. When Cam walks in, people look at Cam and say, wow, that's a guy that won a league MVP. He's walking in there with the starter mentality. So if he goes to Los Angeles with the Chargers, that's a situation where I think he could start right away. You bring a certain flavor and feel to that franchise where they have zero identity right now. They happen to have some talented players on that roster defensively, Ingram, Bosa, Derwin James coming back from the injury. Offensively, no more Melvin Gordon, but you still have, you know, Keenan Allen there. Austin Eckler out of the backfield. So you have some pieces there. And if you're a Los Angeles Chargers fan, even if you don't think you're going to be good this year, it's not as if you have a young quarterback there right now. Tyrod Taylor's not your long-term answer. If Tyrod Taylor was 23, 24, then yeah. That would be a decision I'd be okay, just like what I'm looking at with Stidham and with Gardner Minshew. Tyrod Taylor, though, is about to be 31. And I don't believe he's going to have this second wave of his career that's going to be great. So if I'm the Chargers for 1 year, because that you would imagine that's all Cam's going to get, you run and you give the keys over to your franchise for 1 year to Cam Newton. But if it's not the Chargers, if it's not the Patriots, if it's not the Jags, and it's telling what the Bears think, I'll question Chicago. Chicago, to me, would you rather have Cam for 1 year or Nick Foles for three? I'd rather have Cam. You want to know why the Bears did not bring in Cam Newton, in my opinion? Well, they didn't bring him in because if Cam comes in right away, that's a guy that could usurp Trubisky right away. Ryan Pace does not want to admit defeat this early. He knows he may have to admit at some point this year. Nick Foles, when he comes in, though, even though he's Super Bowl MVP, no one, when Nick Foles walks into the room, is saying, oh my goodness gracious, here comes Nick Foles. They're not saying that. Because, yes, Nick Foles was so impressive winning a Super Bowl MVP. He was impressive the next year, getting that team back to the playoffs when Carson Wentz had the back injury. Nick Foles, though, he's not remembered for being a starter. I know he had that one season where he had 27 touchdowns and two picks, but name me a time in history where Nick Foles has started a full 16 games in a season as a quarterback for a team. Name me a time. Look it up. Try to find it. You'll keep on looking because you can't find it. Nick Foles is not going to Chicago to be the starter week one. Nick Foles is going to Chicago in case of Mitch Trubisky sitting there at 4-5 and has 8 touchdowns and 14 picks, and they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, and they need a new voice because the defense is about to kill the offense because Trubisky keeps on throwing picks left and right and keeps on throwing ducks left and right. So that's why Chicago, who maybe it would have behooved them to bring in Cam Newton, maybe they didn't believe in him as well. I also do believe, though, that played into a factor when Chicago, you look at it and say, okay, Cam makes sense, even though his health is at an unknown spot, regardless of what physical they said he took with Carolina and passed. There's a difference of passing a physical and then being able to see on a football field you could return. I really do believe a big part of Chicago passing up on him was simply because if you bring Cam in right away, Cam has a chance to start week one. You bring Nick Foles, Nick isn't starting week one. It's just not going to happen. But if you get past those options of the Chargers, the Pats, and the Jaguars, where is Cam playing football this year? Is he even going to want to be a backup? I don't think he retires. Now, who's that team that he goes to? What is the team that is out there that he looks at them and says, I can at least see a path where I'll get a few starts, or will their quarterback will struggle and I'll be able to take over? For Cam, it's crazy how quickly it could change in this league. Same thing for Jameis Winston. Was once a first-round pick. When you have a few bad years or when you're not able to play for a few years, teams move on quickly. Because the further and further you get away from what you were, you end up becoming a part of history and you don't get back to being better in the future.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.